Yes, indeed. We get to do this after another win. Welcome into the Sunday Smash. That's a smiling Ira Schoffel. I'm a smiling Jeff Cameron. And somewhere you're out there in the interwebs smiling away as well as you should be. Noles win. And in many ways, Ira, this is so much more satisfying than the win against Syracuse because this had a ton of what for to it. They didn't just win with a few breaks here and there. They made North Carolina quit, and they were down 10-0 on the road in the first quarter, looking like their usual sorry road selves when they said, F that. That's not what we're doing. That's not what we're about. And from that point forward, it really imposed their will on North Carolina physically, dominated both sides of the line of scrimmage. Ira, this is it. This is the moment where you go, Eureka, proof of concept. Kids are still buying in. What a goddamn game.
You definitely like to think. And, you know, it's funny. I was going back to the Louisville game, the second half of the Louisville game. And, I know you felt like they maybe turned a corner by what we saw in the second half of the game. We were like, okay, well, we need to see it the next week. And then sure enough, they come out and beat Syracuse. Didn't look great in all phases, had some rough moments, didn't play great defensively for sure. But they got a win. And then here they go in this game where, I mean, if you had to map out how they were going to need to win the game, this is what we talked about in the War Chant report. Control the football, run the football, contain the passing game, get pressure on Sam Howell, which they did as the game went on. So they did what they had to do, but I don't think any of us believed that they could do it. And so that's big, man. It's big for, it's big for these players, but also I think it's big for this coaching staff, for fans to see that, hey, these guys might have a clue what they're doing.
Yeah, that, Ira, it's huge, man. I'm telling you, I mean, those guys obviously behind closed doors just put their head down and go to work. But, you know, from the outside where all the noise is, obviously, you can begin to get a little worried that whatever the messaging is, it's beginning to wear off. Because when the results don't match that work ethic or intensity or the messaging, you begin to worry that they're ignoring of what's being said. But clearly, nothing could be further from the truth. They have bonded. They have continued to work hard. I'm not saying that this is a team that's going to go on to rattle off a bunch of wins. They still have as Mike Norvell noted, they still have a long way to go. They still have a lot to work on. They've got to get better overall in a lot of areas. But I do think that that work ethic and that belief in what those coaches are telling them, it has to be, or else they wouldn't have been able to win a game like this. They wouldn't have gone on the road down 10-0 in the midst of a here we go again moment, jump off sides on fourth, and you know, all the kind of stuff that they do. If you didn't believe in those coaches, if you didn't believe in the day-to-day, hour-to-hour, minute-to-minute work ethic that they preach about trying to get better and doing things the right way, then this comeback wouldn't have been possible. So they are absolutely bought in with these coaches.
People are calling for the keg stand, Jeff. I think didn't we renegotiate that? Out of the keg stand to tequila shots?
We did. Okay, maybe here's what
– set this up because we're crossing shows here.
We are.
On the War Chant family, but
Well, and it can get confusing. So here's – I know this. So we have people who suggest things they think we should do all the time, and then somehow that gets embraced as something we are going to
that we've agreed to.
Right. Yeah. So one guy wanted me to run naked – Tennessee Street, pantless down Tennessee Street. And while that is something to behold, I don't think everybody wants to see that. And I guess we were going to hold up a sign of some sort, but that's what he wanted. then there was somebody else that suggested we would do a keg stand. And because
Corey had done the champagne, he'd splashed himself with champagne. Yeah. Right. So they wanted us to do a keg stand.
And I said, without question, that you and I are willing to do keg stands, but there's a lot involved, and we do the show from different places. And, I mean, at some point we may do a keg stand. It's not out of the possibility, but it's not – yeah, it's just not happening tonight. Right. So here's what we did agree to towards the end of all this. We agreed to do a shot of tequila. And you texted me – this is the dedication Ira Schoffel has – to the Sunday Smash, to our listeners, to our viewers, to everybody involved that supports the product we produce. He texted earlier today and said, what did we agree to? What did we agree to? He wanted to know, like, hey, we got to do what we said we were going to do.
Oh, hold on. And we have a little bit of a fight here in the Giants-Cowboys game, is it?
Oh, we got a little brouhaha. Well, the Cowboys are just beating the hell out of the Giants. So
Giants aren't happy.
No, a little frustration boiling over, I'm sure. But yeah, so what ended up happening was that I have tequila here. Now, I wondered, I'm glad you texted me earlier. I'm not so sure the Schofield household had a bunch of tequila laying around. My wife is a huge tequila drinker. I kid. Okay. She's not, but we have tequila here, and she's frowning at me right now. We have tequila here for margaritas, and I like margaritas, and I have been known in my lifetime to do some tequila shots. So we had some tequila left over. I bet you had to run to the store.
I did, in fact, and I had to explain to the guy why. So I went to the liquor store with a specific request in mind. Like, give me a tequila that's palatable.
Like, so Patron? Did you get Patron? What'd you get?
Palatable.
Okay.
But affordable.
Right.
And in a
right.
smaller quantity.
Yeah, because you're not going to drink a lot of it. Yeah.
No, because this is – now, Kim will drink it. Kim will drink some margaritas.
Yeah, yeah.
But we just never make them at the house. But now this could open up the door.
Oh, buddy, this is the start of a great day.
So I got some Don Julio, which he said is – you know, it's fine. It's way better than a lot of the ones I was looking at originally, which was like, you know, $9.99 a gallon or whatever it was.
Yeah, right.
So anyways, this is what I'm going with.
I'm in.
And I got to pour. Jeff, I don't even have shot glasses in the house because I don't drink liquor. Dude, I don't drink liquor.
But so people you have over do. No.
They can drink beer. Anybody that's come to my house can tell you, you can drink beer or bring your own.
Yeah.
And,
are you ready for this?
So I had to, I bought some glorified fake shot glasses.
I like that. So you bought a little of the plastic ones from the liquor store?
Yes, yes. Like, it's like a medicine. If I need some Tylenol later, I mean,
Ira, unfortunately, and I think this is from my college days as well as my wife's college days. I don't know why we still have them, but we have like 50 shot glasses. I'm going to bring the Chaffels over some quality shot glasses.
What's funny is when I would take trips for work,
right.
Tom's got the good lines here. I would take trips for work, I would always look for souvenirs for the kids.
There's
always shot glasses. I'm like, from every town. I need something with the name of the city. And but Kim was like, no, you can't bring home shot glasses. So
Got one that's I got a shot glass from Puerto Rico. It's a beautiful shot glass. It's perfect for this.
I think I over poured here.
Oh, okay. Well, here we go. You ready to do the shot, buddy?
Wait, hold on, man. I even got lemon and salt.
Oh, okay. Lime and salt or lemon and salt?
I don't know. I got lemon. I don't know.
Okay. I'm just going to do the shot like a man.
Not me, buddy. We're doing this. Get some salt.
Okay.
All right. Let's see how this goes.
Mm-hmm. It's not going to be, it's not very tasty, Ira. It's not like, you're not going to love it.
None of it? Not even with the salt and the lemon? I mean, I've done tequila shots before.
No, I know.
But they always suck. But I'm hoping this one's going to be a little bit better. Because I'm going through the official process.
So this is to Florida State winning a road game, which we successfully documented on the War Chant Report. They were 1-12 in their last 13 road games.
Right.
They had been terrible. This is the first game, too, where they were mentally tough, physically tough. They overcame adversity on the road in inclement weather. They thoroughly outcoached their opponent. I mean, everything about this is a resounding yes, yes, yes. And with that, I think we should do a tequila shot.
All right, buddy.
Cheers to all of our Noles out there. Here we go. You ready, buddy?
Cheers.
Here we go. Cheers. Woo.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, well, that'll get you.
Oh, that's awesome.
But in honor of the occasion, I was ready to go with a chaser.
And this was the good stuff. Wow.
Now, that was good. Now, once you chased it, you're all right. Okay. You know, the problem is, Ira, you have one of those, you're like, we should do another.
I mean, hey, I sliced a few lemons just in case we got a little crazy here, but
I'll
take the whole show. They'll take the whole show with my buildup.
No, there we go. That was good. So we're men of our word. We said we'd do it. We just did it.
If anybody needs or whatever it is with Don Julio, I might put this on eBay. Just one shot taken.
One shot taken. Eric, thanks for the donation. We appreciate you. He writes, Jeff, 10% all day, Noel, brother. As I called this upset on the show the other day, 17-point underdogs. Go, Noles. Here we go, Noles. Here we go, Noles. Here we go. Yeah. Eric, you did. You were loyal. I mean, I think you predicted us to win every game. but you know what? When it pays off. Did you see the guy I retweeted? I don't have his name in front of me. Did you see that dude? That Joker bet $100 on the money line. He ended up pulling in $700 or something like that.
Nice.
Yeah. He had himself a great week. By the way, when the Cowboys win this game, I'm going to win a two-team teaser. Tom, did you go ahead and take us up on it? New England almost screwed. You didn't do it? Dude, it was free money. We've got free money. And New England scared me. But anyway, I won a teaser today. I needed it. I've been up against the ropes lately in college ball. I've been up and down, pretty average.
Maybe this will get you right though. Maybe you win this teaser. You had some tequila, feeling good about yourself.
Just shave my head. Look at that shiny. Look at that. Just got done shaving it from tonight. You got to start the week off right. Yeah, you got to start the week off right.
It's funny, I don't know. When you look at that win, if you're a North Carolina fan, you got to be.
Ooh. Can we talk about that?
Man.
So you're a sideline watcher, and I know you didn't go to the game. Only Corey from War Chant went because Carolina seriously limited the number of people that could go. Obviously, they're following a stricter COVID situation there. So not many people could go. But in watching that game, Ira, and I mean this sincerely, I'm not taking shots. Well, we did just take a shot, but I'm not taking shots at this person. Something's a little off with Mac and that team. Now, Florida State earned that win, and they were the better team. And if you look at it a yard per play basis, if you look at every metric, Florida State was better than North Carolina on this day. So I don't want to take away from our win. Man, I don't think they're playing hard for that guy. That was a weird fourth quarter. I don't know what was going on with North Carolina. It felt an awful lot like a team that knew they were beat and were willing to go home, like their fans did pretty early.
Yeah, it is weird, man. And what's funny is, like our perspectives, everybody's perspectives are so in the moment. Mac Brown did not hide the fact 2 years ago that he wanted the Florida State job. And he let everybody in Tallahassee know he wanted the Florida State job. And Florida State did not go in that direction. They went with Willie Taggart, like it's 4 years ago. They went with Willie Taggart. And then Mac Brown has success at North Carolina. And then all of a sudden it's like, man, this was a disaster. How could they pass up Mac Brown, an FSU guy, when they could add him? And people started like second guessing that decision. And then you fast forward a couple of years and it's like, okay, well, what have they really done? They had some really nice players last year and they had some success during the year, but they did not really achieve last year. They got upset by Florida State, and now a bunch of those guys have left, and now you're left with a team that has recruited well, but certainly is not playing real well on either side of the ball. And that's fair to ask the question you're asking, because right now they came into the country top 10, and right now they're 3-3. They're basically one game better than Florida State,
and they just lost at home to Florida State resoundingly. And I dare say, Ira, roster for roster, they have a better team than Florida State. So they got thoroughly outcoached and they got outplayed by a team whom they have better players than. And that is not a good sign. And we should not have hired Mac Brown. Never in a million years should we have hired Mac Brown. And I said it at that time and I'll say it again here. And by the way, he's not going to do a damn thing else at North Carolina. That little run is over. I don't see it at all. Mac Brown's teams in the 16 years he was at Texas won two conference titles. Two. No, man.
Yeah, Randy's point there is very good. I mean, that last drive was crazy how much time they were taking. It was almost like they thought they had another quarter. I had no idea what was going on there.
I was stunned, too. And I kept turning to my wife. We were sitting here going, what are they doing? And I don't know. Each minute that went by, I went, let them do it. But there was no sense of urgency. You could hear it in Dan Orlovsky's voice, who I thought did a decent job. I mean, he's like, let's go. What are you doing? And it was stunning. They just, I feel like they wanted to go home.
Even when they got a first down, it was like, okay, well, all right. Well, you would have liked to have stopped them there, but that's going to take two more minutes before they go for their next first down. I mean, it was a weird 2 minute drill when you're down by 18 points. I don't know, but that doesn't minimize what Florida State did. I mean, the reality is that this team has played so poorly on the road, and this is the reason we didn't pick them. And I think we talked about it last week. If this game had been at home, you could make a case for Florida State winning that game. But we had not seen Florida State play like this on the road on either side of the ball.
Especially, in years.
Especially not being down 10-0. I mean, what's 10-0? I'm thinking, okay, this is a wrap. This is going to be – they may lose by 40. And because, I mean, I can't remember. I have, literally have to go – you have to go back to probably Jimbo's tenure, but not the last year probably, to find games where Florida State went on the road, got punched in the mouth, and didn't just back down.
Bounce back, yeah. I mean, they did – yeah, it would have been during Jimbo's time, and that did happen. But, you know, it is something to look at. I saw a lot of strange things this week. And if we just look at the – first of all, can we just say this? If you're, I'm a college football fan. You're a college football fan. Man, what a weekend for – this was awesome. Insane. Every time I looked up, there was another amazing game. I mean, and even games that some people don't care about. But, I mean, obviously, Alabama and Texas A&M, Arkansas and Ole Miss, Michigan and Nebraska – Penn State and Iowa, obviously right. Florida State doing what they did, coming back from down 10-0 and then dominating that game. Obviously that meant the most to me, but I mean, Oklahoma, Texas was an insane football game.
It was.
You could go on for days. I've watched more football in the last 48 hours than I have at any point in the last few years. I was afraid to leave. I didn't want to miss any more. Every game was incredible.
That Oklahoma, Texas game was crazy. And I almost tweeted something, you know, when you start to tweet something, and then you stop yourself
for whatever reason.
And then you like later you're like, oh man, I should have done that. Or, oh man, thank God I didn't do that.
Right.
I almost tweeted that because the way Oklahoma came back and just took complete control of that game.
I was 38-13 once they made the change. Yeah.
I mean, and I almost tweeted right when they get the 2-point conversion, when what's his name came back in, they get the 2-point conversion. Right. I almost tweeted
Rattler.
I almost tweeted, for all the people that tell me momentum doesn't exist, watch this. Watch what's happened to Texas with Oklahoma, the way they've surged back in this game. And then I think Texas went right down and scored. So
I was
kind of glad I didn't do that.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I've watched that rivalry for so many years, and it's always a crazy game. And it never feels real safe. I mean, Texas, probably felt really good. At one point, but then the next thing you know, when it gets down to like an 11-point game, you're kind of thinking Oklahoma's going to win this game. I mean, it really got serious. And it was, you know, obviously they were trying to set up for the field goal and you end up running in for a touchdown. Just an insane ending. But that rivalry's fun. And if you're Sark at Texas, that's a good first one. I mean, look, Texas is behind Oklahoma player wise. Yeah. So there's no shame there. There were years where obviously one or the two teams were overwhelmingly favored. This one was a 3-point game because Spencer Rattler hasn't played well. Have you ever seen a Heisman candidate get benched this early in a season? And he's not going to get that starting job back, by the way. I think they found their guy. It's one 5-star to another, but that kid is the truth.
And it seems like, you know, whenever there's a storyline that we, you know, in the media, we latch onto a storyline that, okay, this was the moment that guy turned everything around. A lot of times, have they really turned everything around? Mm-hmm. You know, or is it a short sample that we've decided to say they've turned everything around? Because it's not like he's played great all year.
He's been awful. He's been the reason the offense has sputtered. Now, here's the thing: the Big 12 has been so bad, Ira,
right.
And he still led the conference in passing going into that game.
They have so many weapons. I think that. Yeah, that game was awesome. It started making me think, you know, and I know it's never going to happen, but like Florida Georgia is an awesome game, just the neutral site.
Sure, it's fun.
Like, would you ever have an interest in Florida State being a neutral site? Would that appeal to you at all?
I really, where, Ira, where do you want to have it?
I mean, Orlando,
no,
Miami.
No.
Come on, man.
I mean, no.
Take it down to 305.
Listen to this selfish. Yeah.
Trip home is what I'm talking about here, Jeff. I don't know. I mean, just because it is cool that you.
Yeah.
I mean,
the Cotton Bowl is pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, those experiences are neat when you've got half this. You know, like the Florida Georgia game used to be quarter.
Yeah. And it's 50-50 in that Oklahoma Tech. Yeah.
They changed it to 50-50 because there were so many fights. You just had twice as many fights. Speaking of which, a good friend of mine from college, this girl, Suzanne, who is a huge college football fan, she went to Wisconsin to see them play earlier this year. It might have been Notre Dame earlier this year.
Soldier Field in Chicago.
Oh yeah. She might have gone. Actually, no. She went to a game in Milwaukee, or she went to a game in Wisconsin and visited Milwaukee.
Okay,
but it was a big game though. But she actually went into Milwaukee because she was talking about. But anyway, what she found so remarkable, she texted me last week. She's like, you know, what's the most amazing difference between games at Wisconsin versus games in Gainesville or Tallahassee? She said there was like no fights.
Everybody was cool.
Yeah. And I was telling her how, like, people always say that about Nebraska. Like, Nebraska games, their fans are just they're just nice enough people.
Been around long. Well, Midwesterners tend to be pretty solid people. I mean, they work hard. They deal with the cold. There's a lot of stuff they're overcoming, man.
Not enough anger for sports.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, thank you, Blake. Plus 630 for that ass. Never in doubt. Yeah, he's the one who laid 100 to win 700. So,
nice work, Blake.
Yeah, that is good stuff, Blake. Hey, a bunch of people did ask this question, and we should get back to this for a second because there's some legitimate questions being asked, and I think it's fair to answer some of these. So Tom wants to know our win total the remainder of the season, and did this weekend change anything? Oh, sure it did, and it did for a lot of reasons. I'll just say it changed because they clearly have an identity of what they want to do. So you're going to play to something. It may not always work. There'll be teams that are better able to shut it down. But I will say, if Jordan Travis is healthy, and that is a giant if, you know, he did such a good job with the read option in this
game. He's as good at that as anybody I've ever seen, I think.
Well, I'm not going to go Corey Clark on this here.
He's really good at it.
Well, and he did a better job in this game than he's done in any previous game. I mean, he really, really looked comfortable doing it.
Sold it.
Yeah, sold it. Ira, you're 100% right. He sold it, buddy. He had one glaring miss, and it's on the play where he got Jayshon Corbin killed five yards.
Yeah, he gave it up on that one. It was one where you're thinking, okay, well, Jordan just didn't want to take that one.
He's like, you're going to have to take that.
I'm good on this one,
Jayshon.
Here you
go, partner. You go ahead and take his ass kicking. I don't feel like it. Yeah. Hey, by the way, as brittle as Jordan Travis has been, I think Jayshon Corbin would be happy to take that shot, you know?
He did. Even after the play, he kind of went over to him and, like, tapped him. He's like, that's good.
I don't need you taking that shot.
You just break off another one of those 53-yarders.
Yeah, I'll deal with taking some shots every now and again. You stay upright and give us this touchdown every now and again. We'll be all right, yeah. It made me laugh, too.
But he also just seemed relaxed.
Yeah.
Like, he just seemed calm and like, he understood what they were trying to do. What you were critical of, last year, and somebody earlier was like, oh, you got to eat some crow. You've been critical of him not hitting those shot plays.
Oh, no. Well, yeah.
And these weren't 70 yarders, but he hit them. I mean, he did hit them. But the one to Ontario was perfect. When those plays were there, he hit them.
They schemed open. We're so hardcore on these coaches. Give these guys some credit. I mean, 100%. They're scheming up one-on-ones and wide-open guys. He better hit them. Now, I'm not trying to take credit away because he's not a very accurate passer consistently. But if you scheme a guy wide open, he will hit him in stride. And he did. He did a great job with that, and he deserves credit. But I give more credit there to Kenny Dillingham.
Right.
I mean, they set those plays up, and then they got their shots down the field because of it. But this is by far the best Jordan Travis has looked. He threw the ball well, even on some plays where he stayed in the pocket. And I'm talking about traditional offensive plays. There was a second and I think it was a second and seven, sits in there calm, waits for it to come open, hits the crossing route. I'm like, okay, that's how that's designed. You got to let him cross the face. He let him cross the face, but it takes patience because you got to sit there and you got to let him cross the face of the linebacker. He does. He stepped into the throw. It was in stride. I think it was to help him. That, I remember thinking, okay, well, that's a quarterback. That's something.
And what the piece, as the puzzle's coming together, the piece that helps make that possible is I feel like the offensive line played pretty well.
They did play well.
Overall.
They did play well. Yeah.
Robert Scott's getting healthy. I think Dylan Gibbons is getting healthy. Bavion came in and did pretty well. Maurice Smith, you got him two games in a row now, so you're getting that continuity. They haven't had him all season. He only played like 20 or 30 snaps in the first game against Notre Dame, and he's by far their best center. So that's all coming together. That's got to give him some comfort. They're running the ball, even when they don't have numbers. you know, I mean, that all is coming together. Again, North Carolina is not a good defense. Not, well, they're certainly not a – they're not a good defense. They're not a bad defense, but they're not a good – they're kind of average run-of-the-mill defense.
Well, I think if you're a North Carolina fan, Ira, you got to be disgusted. You have two corners, one of which is going to play in the NFL. The other one's a good player. You have a legitimate player as a sophomore defensive tackle that leads their team. And we talked about him in the War Chant report. They got a guy that is disrupted. They are not playing to their ability. And we get on coaches a lot. I was just talking about that. And we should. They're paid millions of dollars. Here's the thing. If you recruit that well and you have those athletes and they don't play well, man, that is on you. That is on you. It's one thing when you're trying to make up for a lack of talent and you're just trying to kind of, you know, put, you know, piece something together. Right. It's a whole nother when you have legitimate players, and they do. And they got beat up. They got beat up. They got bullied on the defensive line, on the offensive line. I was very impressed with Florida State in this game. This is the most impressed I've been in a long, long time. And it is something they can fall back on now. Now, listen, so Ryan brought it up.
Completely different from the North Carolina game last year, right?
Completely. That was fluky, right? And silly. And yeah. We take it. We'll gladly take it. But it was fluky. And so this was like you just went and won the game.
Right.
Here's the thing. If you're okay, so over under 2.5 wins from now till the end of the season is the question. Well, you get an automatic, you got a layup against UMass. I don't care that they just beat UConn, sorry ass. 100%. You got a layup with UMass. So that's one. My suspicion is that Miami is going to have no interest in playing that football game against Florida State. And I know it's a rivalry game, and I shouldn't say that, but man, they look like they're going to do to Manny what LSU just did to Ed, which is call it a day, right?
We're no longer interested.
I tweeted it out last night, somewhat vulgar, but I pointed out last night, when it's 14-0 to Kentucky, I'm like, well, this is a wrap. This is a wrap. They just told Ed O to go to hell. It's over. So LSU might as well move on and start thinking about Joe Brady up there with the Carolina Panthers and bringing him back in and let him be head coach.
Well, Jimbo just knocked off Alabama.
I actually think that hurts their cause, because I don't think – now he's got to pass at A&M for some time because he beat Nick Saban. It may help them from themselves. So bottom line is, you know, if I look at this, I think obviously to beat UMass, I actually think Florida State will beat Miami this year. So that's two. You got to get us three more wins. Okay, the game that I would circle that you could win is the Boston College game before UF. And I know it's sandwiched in a weird time, but I could see, especially if you beat Miami, I could see you going up to Boston College and winning that game.
Now, why is that? Because they lost their quarterback? Because I haven't watched them play much, but Corey said the same thing today. I was thinking maybe NC State at home, but Corey was saying he thought Boston College.
I think the Boston College game is the one. And it won't be easy because they're well coached and they play hard. They are deficient. Defensively, they are deficient.
Well, they're going to have a time. Look, that was Jordan Travis's coming out party when they went up there when Odell took over as head coach and said, hey, this kid's really athletic. Let's use him. Mm-hmm. And Boston College, I mean, he had some big, huge runs against them. And, you know, even when Boston College is going right, even when things are going well for them, they don't have the athletes on defense
typically
to keep up with a guy like that. So that would make sense.
Yeah, no, I do. I mean, that's a tough game because they're well coached and they are buttoned up. But I do think that Florida State can go win that game. And I think, you know, that would give it three more wins. I mean, all of a sudden you're up to five. You know what's so frustrating? Come on, we all did it. You guys watching at home, you know we all did it. The second we won that game on Saturday, you thought, well, for F's sake, if we had just won the Jacksonville State game, you start doing the math. We could have gone to a bowl.
Hey,
you
know, you start,
yeah.
It's not off the table, buddy. They can take 5-win teams now. And listen, here's the thing.
You think that team GPA is good enough?
Well, here's the thing. It actually isn't bad. It definitely couldn't have gone when Jimbo's here.
No chance. Yeah.
It's got a shot now. But the other thing is, sometimes teams don't want to go to bowl games anymore. But I think this is the coaching staff that desperately would want to go to a bowl game. So they got 5 wins, but because of Florida State's appeal, because of on television, because of what the way they're playing, you know, again, this is all if it plays out that way. I could see them being a possibly an attractive case. And again, because they have kind of cleaned up some of the academic people don't know, the way you can get as a 5-7 team is if you're doing very good in the APR, while right. other schools who don't, you know, you would get first preference if there's not enough 6-win teams. But yeah, it's a long way away, man. But hey, look, it's cool to even have that as an option when, you know, 2 weeks ago, we thought this team might be 1-11.
So if you go back and if you think about something, watching that Syracuse Wake game, Ira, you know, Syracuse lined up and ran the ball against Wake Forest and kind of bullied them, and Wake wins the game, and which I guess is good for the ACC. Somebody's got to do something decent, but it made me feel even better that Florida State was able to get that win. I don't think Syracuse is a great team, but I do think they have some tools to run the ball and run downhill on you. So it was important that they got that win to see them play really well against Wake. Okay, that's nice. And then from there, you know, I wish, and I know nobody thinks this, I really wish Florida State could have another shot at Wake Forest. I'm telling you.
Oh, yeah.
I'm telling you, those two calls early are just devastating. Just devastating. And nobody wants to hear that, but you turn it over 6 times. If Jordan Travis is healthy, Ira, I think that's what you're going to say. And you play him in that game.
But not just that. I mean, and I try to write about this some in the 3-2-1 I wrote today. I really think it's as I alluded to it earlier, there's several pieces to this. You know, Maurice Smith goes down in the season opener. Dylan Gibbon gets hurt early in the season. Devontae Love Taylor gets hurt early in the season.
And Robert Scott the same gets all hurt year. Yeah.
Early in that whole offensive line has been banged up except for Darius Washington, who's played every snap. Those other four guys have been banged up a lot. You played Dante Lucas early in the year because you were still thinking, okay, maybe he can, but then he would kill you with penalties and the things that he bring to the table. Quarterback situation, you didn't have a healthy quarterback. Some weeks you've been out there. Some weeks Mackenzie Milton wouldn't practice. Some weeks Jordan Travis wouldn't practice. So they really couldn't get much of a feel there. The receiving core is not very good or is not very proven. So I just think, man, they had a hard time getting their fingers on or their grasp on what could they do. And the Wake Forest game to me was kind of like, It was a Hail Mary to an extent of maybe let's give Mackenzie Milton a shot here. And then Jordan,
right.
You know, and then they go with the hot hand and that didn't work. They come back with Mackenzie against Louisville and it was like they were grasping for straws because nothing worked. And I think once Jordan got healthy or healthy enough, the offensive line started getting healthy. They could commit to this, which is probably what they want to do from the very beginning. To give them the benefit of the doubt, it's hard to call plays, man. When you're making mistakes, you can't execute anything. You're having tackles for loss and penalties and fumbles, and you don't have healthy quarterbacks. You don't have a healthy offensive line. So there's what we've seen these last 2 weeks. I think is what they wanted to do originally. They just couldn't get there.
I'm going to say yes and no. I think that they screwed up. Out of desperation. Here's where I civilly disagree with you.
The biggest mistake, look, the Jacksonville State game to me was a debacle. 100%,
obviously.
No doubt. But I'm not sure Jordan Travis's health, I think, was a big concern in a couple of those other games.
Well, okay, I don't disagree with that. But I don't think, Ira, that they came into the season wanting to run the offense that they're now committed to running. I think that they were desperate to have a drop back pass game because Mike wants to run more of his offense. And you can do that if you're able to throw from the pocket. And I don't think he thought Jordan, I think he thought Jordan was limited. He was a guy that could run around and you didn't trust him to be healthy. Right. So they were hoping Mackenzie Milton could be healthy enough to run the system, the entirety of the system. Where they screwed up, in my opinion, is that they didn't identify soon enough that they didn't have the pieces to do it, including they didn't have a healthy Mackenzie Milton. And Ira, he missed – I mean, we can say this, right? He missed a lot of time. Man, he missed a lot of practice, and yet they were still trying to square peg round hole.
Well, and they were and with Jordan too. I mean, I agree with you. Jordan too. I think they were – because of some of the strides they'd seen him make in practice – I think they thought he could be a guy that could run the offense the way they wanted to. But I don't know if it was desperate. I mean, look, man, it's semantics. I don't know if it was desperate or
– Well, I mean, I think they just wanted that. They wanted that as part of – And why wouldn't you? It's more appealing to recruits to be able to do that, to have receivers that make plays, right? It's an offense built for playmakers, right? Like, that's kind of what they're trying to do. But then when you realize you just don't have it, you don't have the health, nor do you have an offensive line that's capable of holding up, this is what you have to do. And in fairness to them, to your point, Jordan Travis hasn't looked healthy enough to do this at any point in practice this year. I mean, he's been beat up. And so they it's a confluence of things. They've had a bunch of bad luck with guys getting hurt. They may have misplayed their hand early on, and it cost them a catastrophic loss. I mean, again, we keep talking about this because if they hadn't lost that game, are people really that angry if we're sitting here with three wins right now with an overtime loss to Notre Dame? And, you know, I don't think so.
I mean, the Louisville game would look rough just the way
– 31 points. Yeah. Hey, but by the way, that's another thing. Adam Fuller may have saved his job Saturday. I mean, if things had continued down the path we were looking at, Ira, you know, I just don't know. He may not be back, but he's giving himself a fighting chance right now. They looked absolutely prepared.
That's what I was going to say. They're still not very good, but they did look prepared.
They looked prepared, and they competed, Ira. They were really aggressive. There was a play early in this game. I think it's kind of just an out route. It's just a little 10-yard to the sideline. Man, there's good coverage on that play. There's real fight. There's hand. You know, there's confidence. That's what it was. There was real confidence. You get the interception because that's a well-played and well-defended moment. Your reward is to pick that pass off. Guys, you're allowed to do it. You're allowed to do it. If you're in somebody's hip pocket, and that ball goes up and it's 50-50, you're allowed to win one of these. And they did. And they played like they thought they were going to. So,
yeah, you know, it's funny, man. I was talking to somebody last summer who has been on the – wasn't an official coach, but was on the staff the last few years. And he said that he could never understand what was wrong with the DBs. That he felt that he could see them play in practice. You could see things they did, but for whatever reason, they get in games and just have no confidence at all to make those plays. Whether it was Harlan Barnett coaching them, whether it was Adam Fuller coaching them, or even, you know, certainly under Charles Kelly at the end, they just didn't make those plays. And I don't know what got into him this week. I thought, man, it was awesome. I don't know if you watched Jarian Jones' interview.
Oh, man, yeah.
He's one of the funniest kids.
I like that kid.
Yes. And he said somebody asked about, like, the noise, blocking out the noise or whatever. And he's like, look, man, I don't need people to validate me. Like, I know what I can do, you know, which is, look, that's what you want to hear. I mean, he wasn't like bragging. He wasn't being like a jerk, but he's just like, look, I don't need other people to tell me that I like good job or you can do it. You know, I believe in myself. I don't need validation. So I thought that was pretty cool. And then he made that play. It was a huge play. And he's a guy that had not made those kind of plays earlier this season.
They've got some players back there when they're healthy and to get some people to fight. Oh, this is great. There you go. A little Libations Friday Fest from that was the 8th annual. That was a while back. But
nice. Anyhow,
thanks to our friends at the CP. Yeah. So sorry about that. We're switching over to Cigar City, guys.
There you go. I'm sticking with the red stripe.
Well, this is actually instead of the high lie because I'm trying to make sure I keep it together. It's a little high low action, everybody. A little high low.
Look at that.
Yeah, I didn't ever think that you could make a white version of an IPA, but you can, and it's good. Okay, so anyhow, they do have some players in that secondary. Let's hope that this is much more consistent moving forward. They're going to get beat. They're going to give up some plays. Every football team does. But I need to see them consistently, you know, in the right spots, playing with good technique. You know, Ira, I will tell you, from a technique standpoint, I watch this pretty closely. There are certain rules, and I'm not going to go into it here, but there are certain rules for the secondary. And I will tell you that the last couple of weeks they've played fundamentally sound. They've played with good technique. They're not always they don't always communicate real well, and they don't always seem to have a handle on certain responsibilities, whether they're in zone coverage or man. But from a technique standpoint, when we talk about leverage and things like that, they're playing pretty smart football right now. So maybe you can have hope that this is kind of more of what we're going to get moving forward, and that they'll be an average defense. And because they're good up front, they're just thin right now. And one thing I will say is they got a couple guys they have to play right now that they really didn't want to have to play. And when those guys are in there, and I'm talking about up front, they get hurt a little bit. A great win. I'm not going to call out a specific player, but there's a couple guys that they're relying on now because of injury that really probably shouldn't be out there. But hey, listen, at the end of the day, they've got four guys they can depend on up front, and maybe you get a little something on that back end that you haven't had in a while.
Hey, man, and a couple of the young guys, I mean, you know, we've seen Kalen DeLoach come along through the course of the season. He was a guy a year ago nobody would have expected. No. He started last year against Georgia Tech and then went on a milk carton. Like, they didn't play him the rest of the year, and then he had a good spring. He's come around. He's now become a key player. Kevin Knowles is a player. I mean,
we knew that, right?
Right.
Yeah, he is a player, yeah.
But that's, man, that's big, man. Now, you're talking about a freshman, a true freshman, that's playing at that level. You know, you think about the way Jarvis Brownlee, and especially this game, I was watching on TV, so I didn't get to watch all of the routes he was covering, but he only got targeted, I think, a couple of times. Now they don't, you know, it's pretty much the Josh Downs show, and that's who Knowles was covering for the most part. But Brownlee, they don't go at Brownlee a whole lot, so he must be doing something right over there. Jarian Jones gets the pick. You know, again, man, just showing some competitiveness. I mean, it's been years now. I mean, it's funny, man. Like, the questions, people started asking the questions to Adam Fuller about why don't you play more zone? And I thought I was in a time machine because I remember the same thing with Harlan Barnett. And it's like, can you simplify things? Can you play more zone? Can you? And it's like, sometimes, man, whatever we call, go make a play. Somebody has to do something. You're starting to see those guys make some plays, which, man, I got to think that's got to give them confidence going forward. And Sam Howell is one of the best quarter. I mean, and their receivers helped Florida State a little bit. They dropped some passes. But a couple big
drops there, Ira. One on the crosser that's going to be a problem if he catches it.
We can't go crazy that it wasn't a dominant defense performance. But they also – when they had some opportunities to make plays, they did it. And it's a long cry from where we've been.
Well, the biggest thing that I took away, besides the fact that they bowed up, got a win, played well on the road after they got off to a rather ominous start, I think the biggest thing is that they are clearly committed to the group that's teaching them. You know, and that is, to me, if you're trying to woo star recruits, if you're trying to get kids to believe in these coaches, the current players have got to exude that belief. And there's no better way to exude that than being down 10-0 on the road and then really bullying North Carolina the rest of the game. And I know the video has made the rounds and how cool it was that Travis Hunter was on
that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It's not ideal to record that video in the first place.
Yeah.
But I will say, I back off because at the end, Adam Fuller gets on the video.
Right. And if you looked at the When Jarian Jones broke the rock and they put out a picture of that, like, half the players had phones up recording it.
Yeah.
And they had basically every position group took pictures with their coaches to celebrate that win. So clearly that was a win where this coaching staff was like, you know what?
Let them know.
We're going to celebrate this one. We're not treating this one like business as usual. You went on the road, you won a football game. We're going to flex a little bit. And I don't have a problem with it.
Hey, Ira, they were 19-point underdogs.
And that's the thing. Some people are mad about the Powerade bath. It's like, are you kidding? They've won one road game in the last, like, 3 years, and that was with Odell coaching up at BC. I mean, yes. Yeah, you're a favorite. You're an 18-point underdog. You're 1-12 in your last 13 road games. Celebrate. And that's a big win for this program.
Really quick, Ira, did you see the end of this Chargers-Browns game?
I did not.
47-42 Chargers. it was crazy. Yeah, really good game. Anyhow, that said, sorry, I was just catching the end there. I was like, well, that's nuts. I would tell you they should celebrate. And it's also a good message to the recruits. I also think, by the way, in that little snippet of audio, Ira, and I don't know if, you know, again, I think if you're Norvell, you got to be real careful. So you got to assume perhaps that you're always being recorded. I mean, I think modern day, if you're a coach, you just got to assume you're always being recorded, unfortunately. But what he said when he was talking about, we're going to go back to work because that's what we do. We go to work. We're going to do that work on fucking Tuesdays when we're going to do that work. And if you watch those guys jumping all around.
Yes.
Man, that was so cool. That made awesome. Me want to jump around. I was like, you're damn right. That is so cool. Give those guys a break. Give them a reward.
And the thing is, man, you know, and that's what, you know, so there's a comment that Tom just put up there about the more disciplined team. It's 2 weeks in a row now, Florida State's been the more disciplined team.
It's actually three. I think that they've had fewer penalties than their opponent.
Okay. Louisville might have had more too.
Mm-hmm.
But UNC was chippy.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they were trying to get Florida State to do some dumb stuff, and Florida State didn't do it. And UNC got called for it. Those are big steps, man. Those are big steps for this team. And to that point about the work, the question I had, you know, this is probably, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks ago, I was talking to some friends of mine. I might have mentioned it to you off the air, but I had a tequila shot, so I'll mention it on the air.
Let's do it on the air. Let's do it on the air, yeah.
You know, when I had my tweet in the summer that Mike Norvell can coach towards the end of preseason camp,
That,
look, this Mike Norvell can coach. What a friend of mine said to me was, okay, well, that's your perspective. You can see the way he coaches a practice and you like it as a 50-year-old dude who has a, you know, career and whatever else, has a family and all that. Does a 20-year-old kid from Miami or 20-year-old kid from Atlanta, do they like it? And do they respond to it the same way? And I thought that was a fair question because it is, you know, we all do come from different experiences. And, dude, he drives those guys. You've been to practice. He is on those dudes, and it is about the work. That's not talk. It is about the work, and he makes those guys work hard. And for them to turn it around here a little bit is a positive sign. And then the way they reacted to that is cool, man. Like, if he's a guy that's not driving them all the time, they don't react that way to get another day off.
Correct. Know? Hey, I always thought this, Ira, I don't want to get into perspective about, you know, we all come from somewhere, right? But I always thought this, it doesn't matter who you are as a coach. It doesn't matter if you're a white man, a black man, doesn't matter what ethnicity, but you better be you.
Right.
You better be who the hell you are. And that has to be real. And the players have to know that. And when things get difficult, if you're unwavering, even if you're tough, there was a coach I had, Coach Rayford. He was ruthless, but I loved his ass, loved him. Because when the moment was right and he could let his hair down a little bit, for lack of a better term, and you did everything that he wanted you to do as a segment group, that guy would have as much fun as anybody. But it was rare. And it was only if everything was buttoned up and you had put in the work, right? But you wanted to make him proud. And when that happened, like if something happened where you earned it, that guy would surprise you and say something hilarious and everybody would just break out, like, yes, we got it. We got it from him, right? Because it didn't come cheaply. You had to earn it.
Well, from a Florida State perspective, it's Mickey Andrews.
Yes, of course. Ruthless. He used to say crazy stuff to those players, but we can't repeat those anymore. And it wouldn't have worked in the modern era.
And make them run a million gassers. It's so funny, man. Yeah. Every time there's a holding call that the refs don't call and fans get all upset about it, I just think about Mickey Andrews saying, holding's a personal problem. That's what he would say. Holding's a personal problem.
I don't
give a crap.
Yeah.
You got to figure out a way to make sure he's not holding you.
Club his forearms. Yeah.
But to your point, it was the way Mickey was when they stepped off the field, being a completely different guy. The love was genuine. The appreciation was genuine. And he wanted it for them more sometimes than they probably did. And you got to have
that. If you get that from a coach, no matter what their background is, if you get that from a coach and they're consistent and they don't waver when things get difficult and they hold you to a standard and they hold themselves to that standard too, then, yeah, man, you got a chance. You can fight through some of the difficult times. You can fight through the relationship breakdowns and some of the issues where you may not get each other. There could be a disconnect. But if you believe that person's real and you think they're, you know, not only are they authentic, but they also care about you and they're hard on you, but for the right reasons. Right. Yeah, I think then you see that. Now, listen, they've still got a ways to go. My understanding is they still got a long – yeah. But – I will also say that I do think that kind of celebration reveals, and that kind of dedication to the game plan down 10-0 on the road reveals, obviously, that they are bought in. There's no doubt that they're bought in. We kept saying that. Now, people get mad, and the retort is, great, they're bought in. They've won one game, and now they've won two. Yeah, you got to get some wins along the way. So you'll get another one here against UMass. That'll be three. And then let's see what happens the rest of the way. I mean, God forbid you're in the fourth quarter of a 17-13 game against Clemson. That team doesn't look like they're excited about playing football right now. So we'll see.
Tom put up that question by Tildog about whatever it was said at halftime of the Louisville game. Do you think something happened? Because we've talked about it. It seemed like something changed in this team. Was it just tired of getting their teeth kicked in?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. There aren't too many. They haven't changed a lot of what they're doing. So something did happen. Maybe pride kicked in. Maybe that just because they were steadfast and they just told them, look, man, at some point you guys got to make some plays.
I do think something – the other conversation I would love to know, and we'll probably never know, is that before that Wednesday practice, when Jordan Travis took all the reps after missing the Louisville game and not knowing if he was going to be available against Syracuse, and then Wednesday – I mean, literally on Tuesday, I started thinking, man, he may be shutting this down. He had a knee brace. His shoulder was bothering him. He wasn't really throwing. And I'm like, he may just shut this down and figure out what he's going to do after the season, because the season obviously wasn't going the way he hoped, and now he's banged up in two different places. And then that Wednesday practice, dude, he came out, he took all the reps and went out and played against Syracuse the way he played. He started running the way Jordan Travis used to run. That's the thing to me that's been so amazing, is just he's running like Jordan Travis again. Whereas the first, even when he had opportunities, he had limited opportunities the first three or four games. But even when he had them, you just didn't see him run this way.
Tom did a good job. I remember going into work. I don't remember which game it was. Might have been the second time. And Tom said, man, have you noticed that Jordan's just not – the opportunities are there. He just won't take off. And then that kind of made me look at it a little bit closer. I thought he was – probably reluctant to run because he was trying to become a better passer.
That's possible for sure.
You know,
at their urging.
At their behest, right? Yeah, I didn't know. And maybe we never will. Maybe he was really banged up. I don't know what the answer is, but I do think whatever it is, he's clearly healthy at the start of games right now. Whether he is at practice or not, I mean, clearly, I don't know. But I will say that he, I would never suggest that these kids are taking anything before the games. I do know that in the NFL, Toradol is an amazing drug, and guys are able to get out there and play.
Speaking of which, how about my man Jimbo? So his quarterback last night gets hurt. I don't know if were you watching
Oh, of course. It was incredible. Yeah.
So his quarterback gets hurt. The kid's playing his butt off. Impressive. It was great. He gets hurt, takes the shot in the knee, goes in the injury tent. Jimbo follows him in the injury tent.
Yeah.
My only question is, did Jimbo do the shot? Like, did Jimbo?
Come here, you son of a bitch. We ain't losing this.
What's he doing? Have you ever seen a head football coach going to an injury tent before? Yeah.
You listen to me. You listen to me, goddammit.
And if he did it
too far.
And if he did it, I'm not sure I'm against it. But it's just amazing. The guy comes back out, and sure enough, is running for a first down like three plays later.
Yeah.
Oh, that was awesome.
That would be the best. I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall. No. No, this is not how it's going to go down. Now, goddamn it, give me the needle. Let me tell you something.
What? Doc, why are you even feeling around there?
Shoot that shit. Let's go. Yeah, I've worked my whole life to win this game. Exactly. You are not.
Oh, my gosh. Well, as soon as I saw Jimbo go in the injury tent, I was like, okay, that dude's coming back in.
He's going to get in the game.
This isn't a wrap.
He challenged everything about who that kid was, in that moment, who his parents were, where he came from, what kind of a man he thinks he is. Yeah, I mean, you name it.
Oh,
you
know? Man.
Yeah, that would be – that would make me laugh.
And how classic was that? It was just – the whole thing was so vintage Jimbo. You get your blank kicked by friggin' Mississippi State
at home.
You lose to Arkansas, and then you come back and beat Alabama. I mean, it's just, it's like, oh my gosh, it's just so vintage Jimbo Fisher.
Yeah.
Congratulations. That's awesome. That's awesome.
No, and I'll tell you something, by the way. That Alabama defense, which got exposed in the second half against Florida, it's got some issues.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, that's, it's got some issues. So that could be really interesting. I mean, I guess the one good thing is we get set to wrap here in a few minutes. College football was not only great on Saturday, but we really are in the midst of a better season, even though Florida State's not. I mean, it's nice to know that, you know, Ohio State has a loss. Oregon, the team that beat him, has a loss. It's nice to see Alabama lose and look very vulnerable. Clemson is obviously not in the mix with two losses now. We can go on with a lot of these teams. You have some intrigue. Oklahoma survived Texas, but clearly they're vulnerable. There are a lot of – I mean, Georgia's the only team that has looked like a national championship team. And even Georgia, like, do we trust that offense just yet? I mean,
that's the thing. You feel like at some point they're going to run into an offense that puts up a lot of points and they're just not going to be able to match it. That's,
I mean, it'll be tough to do against that defense, but
yeah.
I mean, I do love watching Georgia play because they're not having any bullshit. They will hit you and then hit you, and they know who they are. And I like that about them too. But I do think, obviously, you're going to need JT Daniels and not Stetson Bennett. You're going to need a guy who can throw the ball down the field consistently at some point.
Jeff Hill's question here. Thanks for the contribution, buddy.
Thanks, Jeff.
Corey's actually working on a story on that. And as best as he can tell, he's only having luck going back to 1980. He's having a hard time finding point spreads before that. Before the state, this is definitely looks like the biggest – odds that they've overcome as an underdog. I mean, obviously in the 90s, they were never an underdog, maybe a point or 2 points against Miami or somebody.
Yeah.
So it's not like they've had a lot of opportunities, but even including some of the 2000s, 2010s, and then back in the 80s, he went back to 1980 and couldn't find any situation where they were a bigger underdog. There's a couple of possibilities back before then.
Oh, sure. Yeah,
but it's hard to tell. It's just hard to verify because
it's hard to get that information. Yeah. We weren't embracing the gambling the way we should have been back then. So it's hard to find those kinds of lines. That was huge. And you remember one thing I'll say. You know, we've done this on the air. Corey has done it. Ira, you've talked about it. I've talked about it. Tom's talked about it. When you watch college football, every weekend, there's some major upset. Every weekend, you see a team that has no business winning a game against a much higher ranked team, and they do. And the question that we've asked somewhat rhetorically over the years is, how come we never do that? How come Florida State never is the one that they go, how about this upset, everybody? Partly Florida State for many years was not a big underdog.
But I also think the problem is Florida State never sneaks up on anybody. Like Minnesota lost to Bowling Green or whatever, right? A couple weeks ago, I think. I mean, when Florida State shows up, even when Florida State's bad, people enjoy beating the crap out of Florida State.
Oh, sure.
So you don't have that benefit of ever sneaking up on anybody. Even when you're bad, people enjoy – like, man, you remember. I mean, you used to do the bit on your show about
being – we're like, down in the alley and they're kicking us.
Yeah, everybody's taking their
turn. We're drunk up against the dumpster and Wake Forest walks by and spits on us.
They revel in it. So, that's the problem. You can never sneak up on anybody.
No, it's true. It's true. Hey, this was fun. An hour went by really quickly. That's because, of course, Florida State won. Cheers, Ira. Here's to another win the next time we do one of these, which will be probably another win.
Get some, Walt Bell. Get some. Yeah,
come get you some, Walt.
Did you see his celebration?
He got his second win there, right?
But did you see his celebration in the locker room?
No.
Dude, he went straight stone cold. I mean, he like – that two beers smashed him. It was awesome. Which is cool, man. That's fun.
You should. Yes. Did you see? Okay, on that note, real quick, did you see? And it did make me laugh. I mentioned that Dan Orlovsky did the color for our game. Well, you know, he went to UConn.
Yeah,
and,
that's right.
And they showed the highlight of UMass.
Was he a quarterback?
He was the quarterback there. Yeah. They showed the highlight of UMass being UConn, and he goes, I can't believe we lost to UMass. And he just sat there silent, and the broadcast partner just kept going. I got to give him credit. He was just like, all right. Last thing, we doing a shot for every win before the season is over, fellas.
Sure, buddy.
I'll commit to it.
This Don Julio is not going to drink itself, Jeff.
I will be there to take some Don Julio from your cup, sir, and we will celebrate each win that way at the start of the Sunday Smash. That's our commitment to you. Yeah. Our thanks to Tom Lang and our thanks to all of you. Ira, love you, buddy. I'll see you on Tuesday. And you guys be good. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday night. Enjoy the football. And peace.
Talk soon.